I know that we talk about this a lot, but I wanted to just briefly talk a little more dog stuff with you just for a moment. Dog stuff.
Why is this the reoccurring theme for us, even though neither one of us knows jack shit about dogs?
No, never before have I, you've ever even come across dog facts. Anyway.
Right. Okay.
I recently learned that when a dog follows you to the bathroom, it's doing that because, back in wolf times, when dogs were wolves,
yes. I saw a dog food commercial the other day when I was streaming something, and the voiceover was like, "Inside every dog,
oh my god, a wolf." I know what you're talking about.
I could not stop laughing. I was by myself, hysterical. And then I kept, repeating it. It was a whole vibe.
It's very dramatic. There were substances.
It was a thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Inside every dog is a wolf. Okay, anyway.
So that wolf inside of them remembers its ancient programming. Mm-hmm, and it remembers...
Ancient wolves. Ancient wolves.
And it's remembering that it's supposed to guard the other wolves that it is close with when they go to the bathroom, because you're really vulnerable when you go to the bathroom. So when your dog follows you into the bathroom, it's not because it smells your shit and is just trying to be a nasty fucker or is aroused or whatever. No, it's just my human that I love is taking a shit right now. I better go make sure that no one can get to them. And so they come and they try to get into the bathroom desperately.
I don't know if dogs also do this, but I know it's a thing with cats that when they are sleeping on you themselves, or when you go to sleep and they lay on you, it's cats group sleep. It's protective. So when I am sleeping and my cat is just laying on me but is fully awake, she's just standing guard.
yeah, because she cares about you.
And also why sometimes cats will seek out humans or the other cat if they cohabitate with other cats to sleep with, because it's ingrained protection vibes.
Exactly. Exactly. So whether you're shitting or sleeping.
Yeah, whatever. I also feel my own cat usually sleeps the hardest when she is on or next to me, in the way that she'll dream twitch and stuff. And I'm she probably is feeling very secure, which
fully,
is nice.
Yeah, can go to sleep.
I don't catch her sleeping by herself in another room and doing the sleep twitching. You know what I mean?
No, I totally know what you mean. Does she follow you into the bathroom ever?
Oh, it's our ritual. I live by myself, so seldom do I close the door to my bathroom when using the loo, taking a shower, whatever. And it's the morning ritual that when I, take my AM pee, Poppy gets in my lap while I pee.
That's weird and cute.
Should we just catch up in the morning that way? And I will say that she has done it to strangers in my house who, not strangers, but
various repairmen.
Has done it when friends have stayed over or whatever. To my knowledge, she's never done this to a romantic partner, but she, when I've had homies who are staying over, she has followed them into the bathroom and then sat on their lap. I remember having a friend in the morning, because it'll be whoever's awake before me, come out of the I was in the kitchen or something, and then she came out and she goes, "I don't know why you don't just spend your whole day in the bathroom with your cat." And I was like, "Oh no." I was like, "My bad. Did she get in your lap?" She was like,
"She's got to get that AM ammonia."
Well, it's she's got a captive audience. It's I'm not going anywhere while I'm peeing. So the pets are flying freely, you know? Anyway, you're all welcome to know that usually every morning I take a piss with a cat in my lap.
And we're all picturing it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you are. And on that note, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome.
And then I get a little misty and I'm should I be caring more about animals than people?
But it doesn't have to. He licks all the beakers and flasks and tubes until he finds it.
No. Are you making this up?
I'm not. This is how it was discovered. Hands-on in the field experience to hydrate youths.
Which I know you're great, Austin. So you're drinking that fake water again. This month in December, please stop douching your genitals.
Soul searching to find their true self.
I mean, that is this podcast, so it's something we can all enjoy together. Welcome to Why Are You Like This, the weekly podcast where we really don't know much about dog shit and have disclosed some of our weirder morning rituals to you this go round. But it's the weekly podcast where we dissect some part of human behavior, apparently animal behavior now, culture, pseudoscience, real science, little pepperings of psychology, in order to determine why people are the way that they are. That is Jamie Ryan in Cincinnati.
And that is Austin Williams covering her cat in P-Flex in Chicago. This little light spatter.
I don't piss like you do. You are the one who like has explosive
There's
piss.
Bounce back for everyone. It's not just because of my high pressure situation.
I really haven't experienced what you describe. And if you, dear listener, want to know about how Jamie has like pissed so much on the floor that she's thought like the toilet was leaking in three apartments, you should go back to season one. Because the audio was there somewhere in season one.
And I now understand that I'm peeing through the underside of the seat and the toilets are fine.
It's a whole journey.
I get it.
It's fine. It's totally fine.
It's been rough. Anyway, we're not here to talk about how either of us are contaminating our own bathrooms.
Certainly not. I feel like we've already said too much.
No, you know enough about that now. So
you know quick, more than enough.
Quick pivot. What are we talking about tonight?
Oh, what are we talking about tonight? I mean, what a question. Well, truly, we are going to get into the finer art of rumors and gossip.
Ooh!
Dun, dun, dun. When I started doing a light bit of research on this, I just had some feelings. It started because I had recounted recently just some, like, ridiculous rumors like of celebrity times when we were growing up that people believed,
mm-hmm.
and it got me thinking about the psychology of that, including but not limited to things we all remember, like when everybody was saying Marilyn Manson had ribs removed so he could suck his own dick in
one
the
of
early
my favorites
aughts.
Yes,
I mean truly one of the greatest rumors of all time.
Bus, and yeah, also, on the bus chatter about that.
Oh, yeah. And then also things that, like, happened, like, live gossip rumors in the moment. Like, that time everyone thought that, like, Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake had died in a car crash and even CNN reported it. But, like, they hadn't even been in an accident.
Yeah.
And so I was noodling on stuff like that. And then I got me thinking about some of the more, like, emotional side of, like, rumors and, like, chatter, which bled into gossip. And then I kind of thought to myself, well, okay, like, I got to get a hard definition on this. So I'm going to direct us immediately to our favorite source, Wikipedia.
Yes.
And start with a quick definition of what is a rumor, right?
Mm-hmm.
A rumor is a, quote, a tale of explanations of events circulating from person to person and pertaining to an object, event, or issue in public concern. And I was like, okay, like, that's mm-hmm. fine. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, so what's gossip? And then when I went to Wikipedia for gossip, it said gossip is a mass medium or rumor.
Oh, my God.
About the personal or private affairs of others. The act is also known as dishing or tattling. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, but if these are the definitions, if like rumor is part of the definition of like gossip, then what the fuck is the difference between rumors and gossip? And like, is there a distinction?
Mm-hmm. Maybe so, just part of speech? Do go on.
Well, the best kind of explanation I could find that differentiated them that I believe to be true, like this resonated with me and I was like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
is that gossip and rumors are both results of societal interaction that most people would like to avoid or, you know, fall victim to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gossip refers to talking about someone or something with another person or a group of persons. Here's the difference in this kind of definition that I thought was good. Rumor refers to spreading specific information about someone or something that has not been verified.
Okay. So you're telling a specific story rather than just kind of bullshit chattering about someone.
Yeah, like, so, like kind of more like factual things. Like, I feel like gossip would be like if we personally knew Marilyn Manson and we're like, Marilyn's like a weird guy. Like, and you know, I heard that he's like dating whoever right now. And like, what do you think about her? And da 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 da. And then a rumor, I was like, Marilyn Manson had ribs removed to suck his own dick. Like, yes. That, you know what I mean? Like,
real definitive. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I was like, I don't know, that kind of resonated with me. I'm not going to say that that's like the hard concrete difference, because our favorite source, Wikipedia, and plenty of other things didn't really differentiate it that way. But I thought that was a solid differentiation. Mm-hmm. That said, I feel like my takeaway truly is that like these are pretty fucking intertwined. Mm. But a lot of the kind of research about rumors and like the, you know, psychologists that kind of dig into this, and I'm going to tell you some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. To that point, it's about more like the study side of things seem to be more about rumors than gossip. And some of the information, studies, opinions, whatever, about quote unquote gossip to me seemed more clinical.
Okay.
Which I guess goes along with kind of this like specific, not specific bit. I don't know, you be the judge. Mm-hmm. It's just one woman's hot take.
Hot takes. Right. Lukewarm takes.
But in social sciences, a rumor involves like a form of a statement whose veracity is not quickly or ever confirmed. I mean, how could we quickly confirm Marilyn Manson had ribs removed, right?
Yeah.
Not quickly.
He could take off his shirt and we could like look for scars, but like there's going to be tattoos and like perhaps other scarification. So we could never, ever
scarification.
Know.
Scarification. Well, I mean, I feel like you could, I don't know. Well,
he's a body modifier.
My understanding is that is like fully false. Like that rumor.
I'm not sure if you even can do that.
I mean, I just think it's one of those like made up things, right?
Yeah, experimental surgery.
Yeah, you know. But in addition, some scholars, and we're going to get into some of their shit, have identified rumors as a subset of propaganda. Mm. Sociology, psychology, and communication studies have widely varying definitions of rumor. We'll get into it. Again, mm-hmm. I'm like, these aren't necessarily easy to peg terms, like to pin it down, whatever. Rumors are also often discussed with regard to misinformation and disinformation. What is the difference? Misinformation is often seen as simply just like false, mm-hmm. and disinformation is deliberately false. Oh. And oftentimes you can like, we're going to talk some World War II stuff in here, 'cause there's some studies that fall around that. Mm-hmm. And it seemed relevant too there that like disinformation oftentimes is affiliated with like a government source given to the media or like foreign government to kind of change the narrative or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's intentionally false.
Yeah.
And rumors thus have often been viewed as particular forms of, you know, any kind of other communication concept. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of the early work of like digging into studies on this.
Yes.
So, in 1902, rolling it back.
Rolling.
Okay. So, French and German social science research on rumor locates the modern scholarly definition of it into the pioneering work of the German gent William Stern. Mm-hmm. And Stern experimented on rumor involving a chain of subjects who passed a story from, quote, mouth to ear, without the right to repeat or explain it.
They play telephone in a lab.
Exactly. It's exactly like telephone. And he found that the story was shortened and changed by the time it reached the end of the chain. And so there you go. Exactly like telephone. We all played the game as kiddos. And one of his students was another pioneer in the field, just throwing out the name because it will come up later, Gordon Allport. Mm-hmm. So, 1902. Fast forward a couple decades, few decades really, mm-hmm. there was a 1944 study. So, A Psychology of Rumor, quote, was published by Robert H. Knapp in 1944, mm-hmm. in which he reports on his analysis of over 1,000 rumors during World War II that were printed in the Boston Herald's, quote, Rumor Clinic column. So, Robert Knapp goes on to define rumor as a proposition for belief of topical reference disseminated without official verification. So formidably defined, rumor is but a special case of informal social communications, including myth, legend, and current humor. From myth and legend, it is distinguished by its emphasis on the topical. Where humor is designated or involved to provoke laughter. So there you go. He also mentions rumor begs for belief.
Yeah.
So he also goes on to identify three basic characteristics that apply to rumor in his words.
Okay.
One, they're transmitted by word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Two, they provide, quote, information about person, a happening, a condition.
Mm-hmm.
And three, they express and gratify, quote, the emotional needs of the community. Mm-hmm. I will go on to kind of define that.
Mm-hmm.
But basically crucial to this definition and its characteristics are the emphasis on transmission, so word of mouth, mm-hmm. which was then heard and then reported in the newspaper, the Boston Herald specifically.
Yeah.
On content, so topical here means that it can somehow be distinguished from trivial and private subjects. So it's things that like are in the domain of like public issues.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. It's like public knowledge almost kind of can verify a rumor for people.
Well, or, you know, if you and I are talking about one of the neighbors, it's not as topical as if we're talking about the president or Julia Roberts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like mm-hmm. somebody or Marilyn Manson to this point. Right.
Right.
And then on reception, quote, so the emotional needs of the community,
mm-hmm.
that suggests that though it is received by an individual from an individual,
mm-hmm.
it's not comprehended in individual but instead like community and social terms.
Okay, so like for the Marilyn Manson example, how maybe we're all kind of ready to believe that rumor that he had his rib removed so he could suck his own dick because based on his other behaviors and maybe people wanting to be disgusted by him, we were like ready to believe information like that.
Totally. And we will definitely dissect more of that. But that's definitely a big part of why some rumors, it seems, are perpetuated and others aren't.
Yeah. Reputation.
Because there's this. There's this nugget of like believability or mm-hmm. what people have already assumed.
Yes. Yes.
Totally. So based on Knapp's study of this newspaper column, he divided those rumors into three types, mm-hmm. more types. Characteristics, all the things. The guy likes the number three. Here
sure,
we go.
Yeah.
So the three types he divided into. One, pipe dream rumors.
Oh.
So these reflect like the public desire and kind of wished for outcomes. So in World War II, examples of this would be like Japanese oil reserves were low and thus the war would end soon.
Mm-hmm.
That would be like a rumor that is what people want to hear.
Mm-hmm. We all go inside for coronavirus and like we've solved the environmental crisis.
There you go. I wish it would make
topical.
An impact. Topical. There you go. Hey. Okay. Type two is boogie or fear rumors
boogie.
Reflect feared outcomes, right?
Mm.
And so an example of this would be, you know, an enemy surprise attack is imminent. Like when you're dealing with World War II,
this is
right?
The whole Cold War also.
We're going to be bombed. Right. That's totally Bay of Pigs. What up, JFK?
Mm-hmm.
All of the things. So, third type is wedge-driving rumors.
Oh.
Those are intended to undermine group loyalty or interpersonal relations. So, the World War II example here would be like American Catholics were seeking to avoid the draft. Things like German-Americans, Italian-Americans, and Japanese-Americans were not loyal to the American side, but rather like the Axis powers.
Mm-hmm.
Which... Oh, that's interesting. And I also think we hear those kind of, like, you get rudimentary and, like, grade school shit about it. Like, a wedge-driving rumor oftentimes is just, like, so-and-so was talking about you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's all you have to say.
Right. I mean, you don't even have to say what the fuck they said.
And they were saying very nice things.
Right. They could have been. Mm-hmm. We'll get into some of that, too. But Knapp also found that negative rumors were more likely to be disseminated than positive rumors.
Oh, yeah. People love to be assholes.
Well, I'm going to get into some stuff that I think later maybe contradicts this and also leads me to be like, what are the facts?
Okay.
But
yeah.
I think that, I don't know, you often remember like the negative rumors more than you remember the positive ones. At least I do.
I think we're all primed. Remember. Yeah.
Well, because you have a more emotional response to it. And when you have a more emotional response, memories are formed.
Well, the and end. It's like how it takes like 7 compliments or whatever to overcome like 1 critical statement emotionally.
I love that you're bringing that up because that's totally a thing we've all heard and said. And I'm going to bring up some other things that are like that, that I'm like, is that true?
I don't,
like,
that's a rumor. That's something that I've heard that I'm just spitting back at you and to all of you as though it's true.
Exactly.
I just know how I feel.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Confirmation bias. Anyway, a 1947 study. Okay, so we've fast-forwarded 3 years. We're going to get Gordon Allport. He's in here, right? And so he's the student of the 1902 William Stern that I mentioned up
sure,
top.
Sort of a Plato-Socrates situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And then a guy named Leo Postman. And they concluded that as rumor travels, it grows shorter, more concise, more easily grasped and told. Which I was like, oh, this resonates.
Mm.
So
it finds its brand, really.
Yeah, truly. Gets that marketing gets honed in
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
So this conclusion is based on a test of message diffusion between persons, okay, in which they found that 70% of the details in a message were lost in the first 5 to 6 mouth-to-mouth transmissions.
Wow.
So, like, 70% of the info is gone by the time the 5th person hears a story. That's crazy.
Well, that tells you we can really only absorb so much information when another person is talking, I guess. So
we're not good listeners is really what that's saying.
It is. Mm-hmm. That is what it's saying.
It's part of it, it feels like. So in this experiment, basically a test subject was shown an illustration and then given it time to look it over. Okay. And then they were asked to describe the scene from memory to a second test subject. Oh. And then the second test subject was then asked to describe to the third and so on and so forth, right? So each person's reproduction was recorded, and this process was repeated with different illustrations with very different settings and content. So, you know, mixing up the variables, doing the most. And Allport and Postman used 3 terms to describe the movement of rumor. They are leveling, sharpening, and assimilation.
Okay. These are Photoshop tools. Okay.
I mean, yeah, basically. So leveling refers to the loss of detail during the transmission process. So this is where you're losing like 70% of the shit, right?
Yeah, we're summarizing.
Yeah, 100%. It's easier to pass that stuff on. Sharpening the, you know, selection of certain details, right? So those are the ones that kind of get transmitted, like you sharpen up to like the selection. And that made me think about a lot of myths or like urban legends that you've heard about and how we'll retell them to each other. And not everyone remembers like all the same details of the story, but there will be like 3 or 4 that like are always in all of them.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
So like a good example of like an urban legend that I remember hearing growing up that has like you have these sharpenings that I've heard other people tell in different ways. Do you remember when people said that it was like a gang initiation to like drive without your headlights? And then if you flash the headlights at the person, then like they would kill you.
Yes, they would like turn around and follow you and kill you. I still think about that.
Well, it's 100% not true. But it is one that I've heard so many other people tell. And oddly enough, I like distinctly remember hearing about this at church and like really feel like in my memory it was somehow part of the sermon.
Oh my God.
I swear that it was.
All right. Well,
it's not important.
That's how it gets disseminated.
Like, there are like some details there that we all remember or, like those crazy urban legends where like somebody stole an organ, you wake up in the bathtub of ice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
or the HIV positive needles being on the underside of gas pumps.
I never heard that one, but you reference it all the time.
It's really, really terrifying to think about.
It's totally not true. No one's doing that.
Also, poison Halloween candy. We've been there, but...
That, I was going to bring that one up because that's another legend. And what are the details that are in there? It's like poison and or specifically razor blades. I feel like are the things that always come up. But it's not just like sharp objects. People are like, there are razor blades in Halloween. And so you hear these things, but those are like the sharpened details that stick through it. Mm-hmm. And like the organ theft where it's like sometimes it's like I hear it like somebody like solicited like a sex worker and then that person was part of the ring. But then I've also heard people tell the story like, oh, somebody like met someone at an airport. And I've heard the like 911 is like call 911 is like written on the mirror in lipstick. And I've heard all these different versions of this. The one thing that's always true is that people are in a bathtub full of ice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The but I've heard people tell details. Like even I've heard people tell crazier ones where like it's like the 911 operator knew that like there was like, oh, there's someone going around, like you had an organ stolen, like don't move. But then there are other ones where it was never like someone at 911 being aware of the problem. You know what I mean?
Yes. So, yes.
But there's a sharpening there and there's certain things that make it through. Sharpening for sure. Okay. And then the last one I told you is simulation. So that one actually, it was observed when test subjects described the illustrations as they quote, ought to be, but not as they actually were. So an example of this in the illustration, there was like one of the illustrations depicted this battle scene, and test subjects often incorrectly reported an ambulance truck in the background of the illustration as carrying, quote, medical supplies. In fact, the ambulance in the background was carrying like clearly marked boxes of TNT.
But
like people remembered it wrong because they remembered what it like
your they archetype wrote it in their head. For yeah. Ambulance has medical supplies, not fucking explosives. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Which I feel like to me, I was like, man, this really continues to shed light on why you can't believe eyewitness testimony. Huh. But I thought it was interesting and I wanted to dive into some things that we touched on in like more of a clinical way here, mm-hmm. just about the laws of like kind of how rumors spread. Because we mentioned some stuff here and the, you know, psychologists and researchers that we touched on put some facts and stuff in there. But there's a lot that kind of makes things successful rumors in kind of a more clinical way that I thought was interesting. And you mentioned some of them, even being like what folks already assumed about Marilyn Manson. So yes. This was believable.
Yes,
so,
the groundwork was laid.
Totally. So one of the things folks say via Psychology Today that really make a rumor spread is successful rumors needle our anxieties and emotions. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's pretty straightforward to me. Fears pop up that people already are kind of worried about.
Yeah.
Shark infested waters, terrorists, just all sorts of kind of like, I don't know, like sneaky things that
whatever's feel kind like, of already on the cultural radar or like right. within our consciousness to maybe be concerned about.
Yeah. And I thought when I read that, one of the things that came to mind was like just all sorts of rumors or different theories about like 9/11, like in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And one that I came across when reading up on rumors that I was like, I don't particularly remember hearing this, yeah. but I saw it more than one place. Some people must have been saying it. Mm-hmm. It was like when, you know, everybody's terrified, 9/11 happens and everybody's searching for answers. There were like a lot of alarming and completely false rumors. And there were things that like terrorists had injected anthrax into Pepsi.
I remember shit like that.
People were saying that, like, no Jewish people showed up to work at the trade centers on 9/11 mm-hmm. because they knew about the attacks beforehand,
yeah.
which is actually statistically false because, like, 15% of the people who died in the attacks were Jewish, and Jewish people aren't 15% of the population. Anyway, but, like, just stuff like that that really, like, people are fearful and spreading wild stuff. So
mm-hmm.
one reason that they can go, fears, pointing the needle. Another reason that rumors can really travel is that rumors stick if they're somewhat surprising, but still fit our existing biases. So Marilyn Manson is a good one. There was also stuff, I came across a bunch of things that were things like that people said George W. Bush said that he didn't actually say, but like people thought he did. And I kind of thought to myself, like, I kind of think the current guy in the White House is a giant moron. And I think a lot of the moronic stuff that I hear that he says is true. But I was like, there might be some stuff that he maybe didn't actually say. You know all the dumb things mm-hmm. people said George W. Bush said?
Yeah.
He didn't say all of that.
Other stuff, yeah. If someone presented me with a list of quotes, like, no, I wouldn't know what he really said. And I would believe that he said a bunch of dumb shit and just laugh and then tell other people about it.
Right. Totally. And I don't know. There was a lot there and a lot to unhash. But I was like, yeah, it fits our existing bias. So Marilyn Manson to that point. Or a lot of, like, other celebrity stories, oftentimes, like, very, like, sexy, whatever. Like, people being rumored to, like, have been in, like, a sex dungeon or, like, mm-hmm. an orgy. And, like, that kind of stuff.
Or a Scientology basement. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. A Scientology basement. I can't. Okay, another reason. So easily swayed people are often more important than influential people in passing on a rumor.
Mm-hmm.
So a good example of this one that I loved but didn't know pre our time, right? In the mid-1970s, the Lifesavers company introduced a product that revolutionized the way kids chew gum.
Oh.
Bubble yum.
Oh.
So before that came along, you actually had to, like, gum was stiffer, right? And you think about, like, the older gums.
Yeah.
You had to, like, chew on it for a long-ass time before you could blow a bubble.
Yeah, but like the double bubble yum, parade gum bullshit.
Totally. And bubble yum was squishy right out of the wrapper, mm-hmm. so it was, like, the perfect gum. Mm. So, like, maybe too perfect. Kids are like, how does this work?
Yeah.
Hence, here lies impressionable group. Children who chew gum.
Oh.
So what was making it super soft? Soon, the obvious answer presented itself. Spider eggs. Bubble yum was made with spider eggs. And apparently, this was, like, such a, like, bit of, like, schoolyard, like, conjecture
yeah.
that, like, so many people were talking about this. Like, within 10 days of first getting wind of the rumor, the Lifesavers company executives commissioned surveys that revealed well over half of New York area children had already heard it.
I love the idea of, like, legitimate, like, researchers, adults, going around and just asking children about the contents.
Like, have you heard about this?
Right. Yeah. What do you think makes this gum so soft? Is it maybe...
Right.
Could it maybe be spider
eggs? Right. Well, and here's the thing. It's like this story didn't like zoom from kid to kid super quickly because like really well-connected playground info, you know what
sure,
I mean? Like
yeah.
that's not what's going on. But just that like kids are credulous and credulous people make rumors go.
Mm-hmm.
It's your willingness to pass things along. And so I think about all that stuff. Like one of the things I thought about, that's also, I feel like, totally a legend, but didn't everyone hear that story about, like, when we were in high school, people, or even middle school, maybe, that people would talk about, like, some girl getting, like, a starburst stuck up her vagina?
I don't know if I've ever heard that. That's disappointing.
I really remember that one. And then it somehow involved, like, a starburst, and as a result, like, her boyfriend got herpes. It's actually pretty graphic, so I'm not going to go over it right now, but I just really remember people talking a lot about this. And occasionally somebody would say it was a specific person.
Oh, my God.
And then somebody would be like, but I heard it was someone else. And then you'd have people being like, dude, this is just, like, made up bullshit. But, like, people would talk, it would always come back around. People would always be talking about the starburst vagina. I swear to God.
What did it have to do with the herpes?
There is a polyp involved. Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'll look it up later.
You've heard enough. Okay. So the next little bit of like how rumors are spreading, the more you hear a rumor, the more you'll buy into it, even if you're hearing that it's false.
Looking at you, Fox News.
Looking at you, Fox News.
And our grandparents.
And our grandparents. Nancy Reagan lied to us. Okay.
Over and over and over.
I can't. Okay. So according to a poll, when this article on Psychology Today that I'm pulling stuff from, this little bugger, was published in 2008,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Year of our graduation. Adulthood.
Of high school. Yeah, we were 18-year-old little BBs when this happened. So according to a poll, 11% of Americans believe the rumor that Barack Obama was secretly a radical Muslim.
What percentage? Come again?
11.
Okay. All right.
Who refused to say the Pledge of Allegiance and was sworn into the Senate on the Quran and probably hates like your mom and apple pie too. Like,
here's the thing. I did hear from various family members about the sworn in on the Quran thing and various antichrist rumors, but that was for more religious and maybe racist reasons. But
sure. I remember hearing that he was a Muslim and actually being like, thinking it was true, but being wholly unbothered by it.
Yeah. Oh, fully.
I was like, oh, he's Muslim. Cool.
Yeah. No, I fully was like, okay, cool. Like, that'll show them. But yeah, rumors, man.
Yeah. But it's interesting because so here's the point of like hearing it so much, you'll buy into it even if you're hearing it's false. Mm-hmm. Because the myth was like so pervasive that the New Yorker actually did like a satire on its cover, depicting like the cheery new prez Obama hanging out in the White House in like full Islamic garb with like an American flag burning in the fireplace and a portrait of Osama bin Laden on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
I recall
they're making fun of it and they're telling you that it's false, but they're still repeating the rumor.
Yeah, you're right. And it's like contributing to like all of the collective unconscious right now. It's going into the cultural awareness.
Right. So even though they were trying to expose like the absurdity of the rumor, according to some of these psychologists who are reviewing it, they're like, even if you're hearing that it's bunk, it tends to plant it deeper into your mind.
Yeah, this is the same bullshit that we saw like with the 2016 election is like, even if you know that like maybe someone's not a good person or not a good politician, but you are like saturated with like hearing them talk or hearing about them or constantly like the news reporting good or bad on a particular candidate. If you don't like have your mind made up, I think that it is easy for people to just be like, well, this person's obviously the president because like I've already been hearing about him constantly. And maybe that's not real. I don't think that that's like a sentence anyone says to themselves, but I think it's something that kind of slowly can happen over the course of a campaign.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's true. The more visible someone is, the more credit they seem to get.
Yes.
That's fair.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Another part of rapidly spreading rumors is that rumors reflect the zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one of these, I want to swing it back, that was mentioned in here, is the rumor about the headlights being flashed and gang members killing you.
Yeah.
So, like, don't ever flash your lights, et cetera, et cetera.
I was stressed about that as a kid.
I remember being like, oh, my God. Okay, So that rumor circles around and it comes back. And usually they say that people start chattering about it in mid-September, because that's when you first start having to think about putting your headlights on when you're coming home from work, because it's getting darker.
Yeah.
Headlights are on people's minds. This would also, another example would be the poison Halloween candy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, complete bullshit, but, like, circles around that Halloween time, right?
Yes.
And so, rumors have the greatest chance of multiplying when the topic is something people are already pondering. And so, again, like, kind of to your point of political stuff, like, also around election time, like, we are, you know, ready for a bunch of political rumors and that kind of thing.
And we're all emotional and, like, ready to believe a bunch of horrible stuff about people we hate, perhaps.
Right. Totally. 100%. Okay. Next bit is that sticky rumors are simple and concrete.
Sticky as fuck.
So this goes to your, like, seven, like, good things rule out a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Examine your own stockpile of just, like, offbeat conventional wisdom. It takes 7 years for swallowed gum to pass through your body. We only use 10% of our brains. The Great Wall of China can be seen from space. Or, my personal favorite, people swallow 8 spiders a year in their sleep, which I swear to you,
I think about it every day.
Okay, I read that, I swear, either on the lid of a Snapple or one of those, like, Nantucket Brothers juices that they used to sell at Brugger's.
I also feel that I came across it in a similar fashion. But again, my brain could just be, like, popping it on the back of a Snapple lid.
So here are all the things that I just read you. I promise you the spiders thing was on a juice lid at some point.
All right.
All of these tidbits are simple and specific with a vivid detail that sticks in the mind. Also, all of the things I just said are false.
Amazing. And that is rude of that juice or tea company to tell us the thing about the spiders, because that has really had me tossing and turning. I literally thought about it last night. I was like, well, statistically,
like you're going to bed.
I am probably tonight. If I didn't do it last night, it's about time.
Listen,
I live in a wooded area.
I get it.
Yeah.
But all these things like illustrate this point that's tangible, easy to grasp, and honestly have like an excellent chance of catching on because of this. It's simple. It's straight to the point. It's a spark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So next bit here. Rumors that last are difficult to disprove.
For me,
this takes us straight to cryptozoology. Like, why have we been talking about Loch Ness for so long? How do you disprove it if people have been talking about it for centuries?
And then every 10 years, somebody's like, here's a new string of horrible photographs.
Right. But also, another great example that Psychology Today gave of something that's, like, difficult to disprove, and they gave this example, but I could think of 8 million other kind of Hollywood versions of this. So, the rumor said, if somebody said to you, on Thursday night's Late Show, David Letterman's hairpiece fell off.
But I would be like, okay, and I'm going to get on the YouTubes and...
Exactly!
Shoot yes, over there.
Yes, it doesn't work. Because people can check it out and easily find evidence that it didn't happen.
But I would be ready to believe it. Like, if I didn't have internet access, if this were like...
Well, you'd go look it up. No, but here's the... But you can figure that out. That's the thing. Not on YouTube, you can look into that and figure it out. But if there was a rumor like, I heard David Letterman's hairpiece fell off during a show, but they destroyed all of the tapes.
Oh, yeah. You're right. This takes me to some moon landing shit. I could argue about that all day.
Oh, totally. 9/11 was an inside job. You know, like, just you can't easily go in and like prove or disprove that. You know what I mean? There's even some of the stuff that you could like look into. It's hard to get to like the real root of something. But yeah, like, was the moon landing fake? Hard to prove.
Hard to prove. But go watch that Stanley Kubrick movie. That's all I'll say.
All right. All right. And then last but not least, we are eager to believe bad things about people we envy.
We sure are. It's like we're grabbing onto their head and shoving them down as we hoist ourselves up.
Yeah. And so oftentimes when anybody like achieves a certain level of celebrity or adulation, it seems like a mill starts to churn all sorts of weird shit about them. And different eras too, like some of the stuff I came across, I'm like, man, this is like really offensive. Truly, some of these are interchangeable. There have, you know, been like the stories of like this person like had their stomach pumped because like it was full of semen.
Was that Lil' Kim?
Here's the thing, what I love, apparently one of the original versions of this story was actually about the lead singer from New Kids on the Block.
Oh, that feels familiar too. And then there was
The rumor's been circulated about Rod Stewart, Elton John, Bowie, Mark Almond, Mick Jagger, Andy Warhol, Beck, Bon Jovi, Alanis Morissette, Lil' Kim, there you go. Foxy Brown, Britney Spears, and Fiona Apple. And sometimes it's human semen and sometimes it's dog semen.
Whoa! People really are derogatory about women. And I know that that is old news, but I just...
Yeah.
People want to believe this. And...
Yeah.
Wow.
Other things include Catherine the Great dying while she was trying to make love to a horse.
Just getting fucked by that stallion. It didn't happen.
Yeah, or when people talked about Mama Cass from the Mamas and the Papas choking on a ham sandwich. Yeah, also not true.
I choked on a ham sandwich as a child. Saw my life flash before my eyes. And then my grandmother was just whacking me on the back over and over again, which isn't the right thing to do until I coughed that ham sandwich out. In my front yard.
Is that not the right thing to do? You can expel something from someone's back.
You can. I think she probably should have done the Heimlich maneuver, but it's fine. It worked, and it did take place on the front lawn.
One time my mom asked me if I was choking, and I, like, because something had gone down the wrong pipe, and I verbally was, like, still coughing and everything, but I said, no. I'm like, if you're choking, you can't talk, and I was like, no, but I, like, wouldn't stop coughing, and then she just started beating me on the back, and I remember being like, I said no, I'm not choking, but then I couldn't stop coughing, my mom was slapping me, it was a whole thing. Oh, what a time to be alive, what a time to be young.
But what a time to be a parent or grandmother
and think that your kid's choking, though. That must have been scary for them, too.
The terror, the heat.
I mean, scarier for you as you choked on a ham sandwich. I'm calling you Mama Cass from now on.
I'm fine with it. That. Yeah.
I love the mamas and the papas. California dreaming. Anyway.
A little ham sandwich.
But I thought those were all very, like, interesting and fun things that, like, make sense. Like, yeah, these are what makes rumors travel. Like, digestible. They're salacious. They're about someone, like, we're envious of or, like, want to hate for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a lot of rumor psychology juju. And I'm here for it. But I wanted to maybe hit us with some numbers, too, about quote-unquote gossip.
Okay. Gossips.
So, gossip... truly human, universal. But does it get an undeservedly bad rap?
Mm.
I mean, when you hear gossip, I'm kind of like, ooh, that's negative. Like, ooh, they're a gossip.
Well, and in the church, great. You know, you're always told that it's a sin and not to do it. But then it's all anyone ever does is pray for each other, which is just closing your eyes and gossiping with a circle full of people while you address an invisible being. Bless her heart.
Oh my God, I'm dead. Oh, bless their hearts. Okay. Wow, that's the funniest thing you could have said right now.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So does it get an unnecessarily bad rap? Let us talk about it. Okay. So to try and figure out some sort of conclusion about that, researchers at the University of California, Riverside analyzed the daily conversations. I was like, wow, these people really gave them some permission. Of 467 people over a multi-day period using an electronically activated recorder, an EAR, if you will, because we love an acronym.
We do.
It's a portable device. It continuously samples sounds from the wearer's immediate environment. Participants were encouraged to wear the device all day during the test, and this allowed researchers to unobtrusively listen in on and analyze the contents of participants' daily conversations.
Wow.
Here's what they found. Okay. First, researchers reported that females gossiped significantly more than males.
Well,
when
all
I first
right.
read that, I felt conflicted about it, because I've always been somebody who's been like, men talk shit as much as women, but... then I kind of thought, this harkens back to other things we talk about. Women are just more encouraged to talk to each other than men are.
And more encouraged to talk
about their
social
feelings.
Things and feelings
exactly.
and like what's going on with people they know rather than like maybe more sterile topics.
Like sports. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't feel like we have to stay in like a sterile lane, and we often don't.
Right. Truly. So masculinity is a prison. And
that's
apparently,
what I'm saying.
Women are talking shit, according to this study. Okay. So... but are they talking shit? We'll get to it. Okay. So they also found that people with, you know, high rankings and like personality traits of like extroversion and agreeableness, shout out to the big five, also tend to gossip more than other people.
All
makes
right.
sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. More extroverted, more agreeable.
Just going along with it.
Stuff.
Yep.
Right. But I think it gets more interesting from there. So the researchers coded gossip into three distinct categories. Positive and flattering gossip.
All right.
Boom. Neutral gossip, i.e. observations about people that, like, aren't necessarily positive or negative. It's just, like, an observation.
Sure, yeah.
Like, if I said, Jamie got a haircut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just neutral.
Yes.
So, it's just a thing. And then negative or malicious gossip. And examining these three categories separately, they found that the younger people... tended to gossip more negatively than the older people.
When was this study from?
This study is from, so the article I'm reading is 2019, and I'm going to assume it's not a super dated study, but they don't give me a hard, no, I got it. It actually was a 2019 study. It's referenced, it's called Who Gossips and How in Everyday Life.
Interesting.
Social psychology, and, yeah.
Because I just wondered if, like, tendency to gossip or, like, speak negatively about others could be semi-generational. I feel like different generations
like
have
possible.
Varying levels of cattiness. So I just wondered what, like, young people, like, what generation they were. But it probably means, like, millennials or Gen Z if it's taking place now.
Totally. It is a present day study, which I knew the article was, but yeah, according to the reference on here,
last year. Fresh.
So, keeping it fresh. All right. So to your point, younger people are tending to gossip more negatively than the older folks. They also found that people with higher incomes tend to gossip more neutrally than people with lower incomes, which I was like, interesting. Okay. I like, do with that what you will. I don't know.
Well, and apparently in America, like, $80,000 a year is, like, the income level where, like, money doesn't make you any happier after that. But if you have less than that amount, that, like, money does affect happiness because, like, you have to make choices about, like, what to give up. And so in that way, I could see maybe, like, people with, like, a lower income maybe having just, like, more negative feelings or stresses generally. And then maybe that contributes to, like, negative output as well.
Well, we just said, though, they're gossiping more. I haven't told you what kind of gossip it is yet.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Look at me just painting with the broad brush. Go ahead.
No, totally. But I do think, because then if anything, you could argue, like, stereotypically, and listen, we're like, we can make broad conclusions for this, because I could say, like, oh, well, like, maybe people with higher incomes aren't gossiping as much because they're not talking about other people because they're so self-absorbed. You could spin it in another ugly way, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We make our own rumors about it.
Yeah, we make our own rumors about this data. Okay. So perhaps most interesting of all, in my opinion, is what the researchers didn't find. Mm. So, for one, when it came to, quote, evaluating gossip, right, or positive slash flattering and, like, negative slash malicious gossip, they found no evidence of a gender difference. So women and men need, like, binary like that. Nobody's talking more negatively or more positively than
none
the other
are
set.
More rude than the other sex.
Yeah. So, there's the thing that they were like, okay, we found that females are gossiping more, but it doesn't necessarily, like, proportionally, it's not bad.
Right.
Necessarily.
Right. They're just talking about people more.
Yeah. So, no gender difference there. They also write, despite popular notions, the most reliable evidence for women gossiping more than men was for neutral rather than evaluative gossip. So Jamie got a haircut.
Yep.
Women are just talking more about people in, like, non-negative or positive ways.
Yeah.
And the present study revealed less consistent evidence for evaluative gossip and therefore did not support the notion that women evaluatively gossip more than men.
All right.
Boom. They also dispelled the common misconception that poor, less educated people engage in gossip more than the affluent.
And I'm so sorry for implying that a moment ago. I was including myself in that group that is, quote, without.
Sure. And if anything, the results suggest the opposite.
All right.
The researchers were also interested in understanding how people gossip, as they should be. Mm-hmm. In other words, what are the common topics, times of day, and conversation characteristics that define gossip?
Mm.
To start, they report that just about everyone gossips a lot.
I mean, yes, you just love to talk about people, and that's okay. People are interesting.
We're humans. They also state that its pervasiveness suggests that sanctions against gossip may be futile and underscores the importance of understanding gossip at a descriptive level.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, they estimate the average person spends 52 minutes a day gossiping.
All right, that's not that high.
No. However, they do note that the majority of the gossip, 75% to be exact, is non-evaluative or neutral in nature. 15% of gossip is negative, and the remaining 10% is positive or flattering. So 15 and 10%, like, it's 5% difference, and it swings towards negative. And I think that probably caters to, like, we repeat the negative shit because it's more salacious, you know?
The sensationalism. We all want to be a journalist at our workplace.
Yes. They also note that gossip tends to be about acquaintances more than it's ever about celebrities, and typically involves an exchange of social information rather than thoughts about one's physical appearance or achievements.
Mm-hmm.
So social information, like so-and-so's dating someone.
Mm-hmm. And it can almost be like kind of a currency. Like, there's that person who, like, has the wealth of gossip at all times, has the tea, if you will. And
has the tea, if you will, I will.
And it can be almost like a powerful seat to be in, to be that person.
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, putting all this together, I think the study paints a rosier picture of gossip and kind of its place in everyday life than most people would imagine.
It makes me feel ready to gossip.
Yeah, well, It might, you know, make and an interesting conversation about gossip. You do it all, girl. You do it all. Because I like to paint the sides of both coins, if you will, sure, of yeah. gossip. We got to talk about, you know, people are also on Psychology Today and other sources talking about the toxicity of gossip.
Of course, and you have to.
Oh, I got to flip the other side and like say what this person's saying. We got this study that I think's throwing out some opposing facts, mm-hmm. but as someone who brought to the attention that they kind of were thinking a lot about gossip, she said 4 years ago when she read the book The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. Mm-hmm. So this article was also penned in 2019 by Hannah Rose, who is on Psychology Today, Live Your Best Life. Mm-hmm. And in this book, the author talks about being impeccable with your word. Impeccable kind of stemming from like without error, yeah. or like without sin, if mm-hmm. you want to like swing that flavor. It feels religious
to me, if I'm honest. Yeah. Above reproach, yeah. if you will.
I will. And so he continues to like put some emphasis on explaining the importance and using your words wisely and restating that over and over through the whole thing. And for the author of this article, she expresses that, I don't know, it gave her a lot of feelings and that she's like, man, I, you know, need to think more before I am engaging in some sort of like character assassination of another person.
No matter how fun it is.
Right. Well, and she throws that in and that she goes, okay, before I like throw something out there, I ask myself, like, is it true? Is it good? Is it useful? Mm, I'm like, those are honestly like, those are reasonable questions to ask yourself.
Yeah.
But I do think the way this article was written, that the syntax of the word gossip is less clinical, but already skewing to a negative way.
For sure,
that like,
yeah.
saying gossip means inherently that you're speaking poorly about someone. Mm-hmm. But kind of from the other side of that study we just read, gossip doesn't necessarily have to be negative. In fact, 85% of the time, it's neutral or nice.
Right. So is it kind? Is it good? Is it helpful? Or whatever those questions were. Often sure. the answer would be yes.
Yeah. Often it would be. Which I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. She was like trying to work through some shame on this. But, I mean, truly. I was like, I thought it was interesting.
Shame about being a woman, yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe. And I think that's some of it, too. Like, I think gossip, in some ways, where they're saying, you know, women are doing it more, and then the word gets this inherently bad rap, like, yeah, the kind of shaming women about talking about other people, even though most of the time it's, like, not mean.
Right, because it's a rumor that women gossip more.
Truly. Well, I mean, we said that they do, but, like, the material is... Okay, well, now you're spreading other rumors.
I'll do what I want.
Don't muddy the facts.
I'm so sorry.
But I wanted to, like, throw out these different sides to it and just mention someone say, like, you know, here are some things about this, and I'm asking myself these questions about, like, is it true? Is it good? Is it useful? And I'm trying to do this less mm-hmm. because it has this negative reputation. And I wanted to flip the question to you of, like, rumors and gossip. Are there any, like, big outliers in your life personally outside of the, how do I want to say, you know, the Marilyn Manson stories mm-hmm. and those kind of urban legends and the cryptozoology and all those good things that we talked about.
Yeah.
But do you feel like, I don't know, there was ever a time that maybe you personally spread gossip or a rumor and then it like bit you in the ass, or you felt a lot of shame about it later and swung more towards this woman who is describing feeling bad about it?
I feel like historically I'm not like a big rumor perpetuator. I think because I just get nervous about like balancing social dynamics. I feel like I'm often like so paranoid about like the temperature of a group or like making sure that everyone is like satisfied with each other that like I've mostly been like too fearful to like really, really dive in hard on rumor stuff. But that doesn't mean that like the part of my brain that like likes conspiracy theories, I also like to make meanings like about the things that I see. So I've definitely like had some speculative gossip that's bitten me in the ass, like in work situations where maybe I think that, like, perhaps a small business that I used to work for was, like, not spending money correctly. And then, like, perhaps the owner's wife overheard that conversation. That was not... that was not good for me. And it was a time when I had to remind myself to just, like, shut the fuck up. Like, when my brain wants to be like, ooh, what if they're actually doing this? And, like, I don't know. I think that what I've struggled with more is maybe seeking out rumors and, like, maybe in my younger years, really not respecting friends when they say, like, no, I actually can't tell you anything about this.
Of being like, just tell me.
Yes. Kind of, like, and being like too hungry for it. And then, like, really extra promising that I won't tell anyone. But then, like, oops, I told my roommate. And then, like, my roommate told a bunch of people. But, like, I don't know them. So, like, it doesn't matter.
Shit like that is real. And I think there is something to that. Even, like, that stat about saying that younger people tend to say more negative gossip than older folks, like, that resonated with me, because I do think there's something to that of, like, levels of maturity. And truly, like, through that, like, oftentimes the older we get, the hopefully more confident and less insecure about some things we become. Mm-hmm. And I think when we're young, oftentimes, like, the reason you're, like, you know, spreading rumors and gossip and perpetuating it is because you feel insecure and, like, want to shift the focus onto anything but you.
Oh, I was a very, very insecure child. Don't get me wrong. Just because maybe I didn't, like, spread a lot of, like, lies about people. I was most definitely a bully. And now I'm remembering perpetuating the rumor about a certain classmate who had a brown explosion on his, her chair. And telling a lot of people about that brown explosion. And that was rude of me. And I should not have done that.
I mean, I get it. And I think that I have this one really poignant moment that, like, always sticks out in my mind. That in the way when you, like, watch a movie or read a book that depicts teenagers and it gets it so accurate that it makes you, like, feel a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I feel, like, uncomfortable about this moment when I think about it with myself, because I remember being like, man, this chick was, like, two steps ahead of me.
Oh.
And it wasn't, like, in being more mature than me time. I remember, and it was, like, I was probably, like, a junior or senior in high school. And what is the most salacious gossip when you're in high school at that age? Who's dating who? Who's hooking up with who? Whatever. So the story I was going to tell was about a time that, like, a guy friend of mine told me that one of our, like, mutual girlfriends in this, like, circle of friends, like, group of homies, mm-hmm. had hooked up with someone. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, she hooked up with, like, whoever. Mm-hmm. Then I, like, took it upon myself to tell, like, three other people that story.
Sure, yeah. Like you do?
Like you do. And I remember this moment distinctly, and I remember feeling so ashamed, but I called someone on the phone, and this person who I had, like, recounted this information about was there when I got this other person and was like, oh, who is it? It's Austin. And they were like, can I talk to her for a second? And she just takes the phone and she goes, hey, I think you heard something about me and this person. And I was like, oh. And she goes, where did you hear that? And I was just honest. I was like, this person. Mm-hmm. And she goes, cool. She goes, can you stop telling people that? And I was like, yeah,
heard,
like,
that.
I'm sorry. And it was just like, it was so not mean or, like, rude. She was like, cool, where did you hear this from? And also, can you just stop? And then I remember really feeling, like, mortified. Like, why did I repeat this to all these people? Because I wasn't thinking about if anyone cared about the dissemination of this information. I was just like, ooh, someone told me this hot take.
Oh, yeah.
To my knowledge, it was true.
It's the power and entertainment value thing.
Yes, but that's the thing, is, like, you say, like, I didn't spread, like, information that wasn't true. I wasn't saying anything that was a lie. And I think sometimes in, like, gossip that maybe is negative and, like, oftentimes, like, I think, like, in high school can, like, involve slut shaming someone else.
Absolutely. Yes, it can.
Right? That I was, like, nothing I was saying was inaccurate, but I think, like, that's the thing that sometimes people can be shitty about at that age and be like, well, it's not untrue. But I was just like, yeah, why the fuck would I remember having a really sobering moment that I was like, wow, I really didn't think, like, for a second that I wouldn't want people, like, talking about what I was doing.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is interesting, like, it just comes down to intention then, and you have to examine, like, if this isn't something that, like, someone, if I wouldn't want this repeated about me, then maybe, like, what are my motives in, like, repeating this about someone else? And, like, do I really need to be, like, the court jester right now and get this attention?
100%. And I actually, like, I really feel like that moment where she was like, cool, cool, can you stop saying this? Mm-hmm. Was, like, a really sobering moment for me,
yeah,
like, then, but also in life. Like, I think it probably stopped a lot of, like, teenage tendencies of, like, repeating shit I heard about people mm-hmm. for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So, like, thank you, friend, for not even being... And she and I are still cool. She was just like, stop telling people that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, right.
And thanks for being chill about it.
Yeah. I was like, wow, I'm a jackass. And I remember being like older years being like, wow, this person was like way more mature than me, apparently, that she could just be like, cool, can you just stop telling people that?
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
The one.
I guess on the.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, the one rumor that I feel like I have a strong memory of perpetuating and what it felt like to perpetuate was, and I know that you remember this, but in sixth grade, you and I were locker partners, and
we were, yes,
in
as true BFFs.
Mm-hmm, and in the spring, one day you were absent for just one day. And
oh God,
it was like a Tuesday or something. So like you had been at school the day before. It wasn't like it was a long weekend and then you were gone. And somehow, and I have truly still no idea.
I still don't know how.
I have no idea how this happened. There, by third period, there was a rumor that you were not at school because you had cancer. And because we were best friends, everybody started asking me about it. And so like in third period, I'm like, no, like I really don't think so. Like, she was here yesterday. Like, she probably just has a cold. Like, I really don't think so. And by the end of the day, so many people had asked me that something kind of shifted in my mentality. And I was like,
yep.
Here's the thing. Like, I know that Austin is fine. And I know she'll probably be back tomorrow or the next day. But wouldn't it be fun? Because people would believe me. There was a feeling of, like, because we were best friends, I had, like, credibility on information about you. And and so I was just like, I'm fucking leaning into this. And I was like, yes, she does. She has cancer and I'm getting all of her schoolwork for her. And
I can't,
you know, I'll see her, but she probably won't be back for a while because yes.
I was back the next day.
You were.
But not without taking a phone call from the third member of our middle school triumvirate, if you will, who called me and was like, are you okay? Is everything okay? He was very genuinely concerned and emotional.
He was.
And honestly, at the end of the day, the joke's on me because I did a decade later. So there
I know.
You go.
I think about that from time to time and then I have to kind of mentally sage myself.
I still wish that I knew who started the one day rumor
so
that
I
had cancer. You perpetuated it, I will
not
say.
Not right away.
People were oddly kind to me the next day at school.
Well, then I did you a damn favor. You're welcome.
Oh my God. Okay, so on the flip side, when you're not out there perpetuating rumors that I had cancer a decade too early, mm-hmm. Did you ever find yourself like the victim, or not even victim, sounds like
the subject, the object?
Yeah, the subject, that's a better word. Yeah, of like gossip that was spread about you that potentially like hurt your feelings or pissed you off, or you were like way cooler than all of us, like my friend who was like, just stop it.
Yes, actually recently at my workplace we had a situation where a manager got in trouble for a string of sexual harassments and just like wasn't great at his job, and so they let him go. And there were for some reason like a handful of like high school like bussers and hosts that really liked this manager.
Sure.
And I think that he just let them do whatever they want anyway. So they had all of this like built up loyalty to him. And then I found out like actually days after this even happened, I didn't even know that this guy was fired. But there was like a rumor online in like the the bussers and hosts chat that's just like full of like high school students that are my coworkers. And they're all talking about how I intentionally plotted to get this manager fired and how they needed to be careful around me because I would get them fired too. And that I like had a list of people I was coming for. And like, I had no knowledge.
Oh my God, you're like Arya Stark, like I got my list. Sniping like people. Right. My God. And that's hilarious.
I had no idea. I didn't even know he was fired. And before I found out he was fired, I came in and my coworker was like, hey, did you hear what we'll call her Jill, but that's not her name. This 17-year-old who's just like fucking full of hot air. I was like, I can't believe I'm having like a silent feud with a 17-year-old, but like, what is happening?
Wow.
And then all of the teens like wouldn't listen to me and were like very cold at work. And I was like, what the fuck? And my coworker Liz was like, they all hate you because they think that you plotted to have so-and-so fired. And I was like, come again? So I pretended like I never knew anything about it. And I was just like, you know what? I'm pretending this isn't happening. It will go away. And it did eventually, but not my favorite thing to be accused of.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. Have you, other than the cancerous rumor in preemptively?
That one is just so ridiculous. My God.
It was the power of dramatic irony that I felt. Like, me knowing that it was a lie, but just watching everyone run with it.
Totally. I mean, I can think of, like, times that I felt like... And here's, like, I guess kind of the difference between gossip and rumor. I can think of, like, way more times that I felt like perhaps, like, the victim of gossip. Just, like... overheard like by someone else, like people talking about how they didn't like me.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Like I've been in situations like that. Yes. And I know that I'm cold sometimes.
Sure. But I guess one time that I feel like there's like a really interesting rumor that I remember because it had this really nice, like kind of happy ending to it, but which is kind of like an interesting, like emotional, weird spiral. So when I was in high school, I dated a guy starting probably, like, I guess, like, summer before my, like, sophomore, like, end of summer before my sophomore year. We were, like, friends freshman year, and then we dated, like, all of sophomore, all of junior year, I think, something like that.
And then years later, he put a crystal in my pocket.
Shout out to the crystals episode, if you're looking for it. Okay, but... we dated for like half of high school. He was a year older than me. So like when things dissolved, he went to college. And right before he and I got together, he dated this other girl for like, I don't like maybe a, like 3-4 months, something like that. And I knew who this girl was. Like I knew of her.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she knew of me beforehand, but she went to like the, like in sports terms, rival other all girls high school in the city. Mm-hmm. But her like best friend of like childhood and across the street neighbor went to my high school.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And so I think that's how I knew who she was because she was friends with a bunch of girls who went to my high school, even though I'd never met her.
Yes.
But she dated this guy. And then I was friends with this guy while they were dating, and then he and I started dating. Mm-hmm. And when he and I started dating, all these people at my high school, who were not the girl he had dated because she didn't go there, were whispering about the fact that me and this guy were dating, right?
That's so weird, and but yes, of course.
It was very weird. It was very like, oh, all girls schools, time to be alive. I loved it, genuinely. I don't mean that facetiously. But yeah, there was like the who's dating who. And so... I remember this and I didn't know any of these girls. It was like early on, I guess, maybe it was freshman year when this started. I don't know. The timeline's hazy to me at this point. Am I getting old? Help. But I like there were people I really like didn't have a relationship with, like hadn't really talked to, just like people you saw in the hall and you knew. And they were all I knew they were talking about me because it's like when you're getting pointed out to someone else, like that's her kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Someone's turning and like looking specifically at you while someone else like nods and whispers.
Yeah, exactly. And then at some point, some girl I like didn't even really know was like, hey, are you dating so-and-so? And I was just like,
no.
Yes. I know, I said yes, but I was like, I don't even know you. It was very crazy.
That is weird.
And so, I mean, everything they were saying was true because I was dating this person. And, but I think through that, I think like, because this other girl had dated him, they, I think like people wanted to like have allegiance to this other girl.
Oh, and, like, maybe, yeah. Like, not making like teams me. And then not like you, even though it's like fully not any way related to them.
Right. So the rumory way this kind of, I feel like, manifested is basically people went for like the angle that she and I didn't like each other.
Right. Right.
But like she and I didn't know each other. And then we met like shortly thereafter because we both did. I feel like maybe we had already met, but we got more acquainted, I guess we, I should say. Like, I think maybe our paths had crossed, but we didn't know each other. And we did theater at the all-boys school, which is how you end up from two different girls' schools and you forces collide in extracurriculars. And I remember this time really specifically that there were several of us in, like, the costume closet. And it had one of those doors that, like, closes automatically, like, it's on tension or whatever.
Yes.
And we're all in there, and then there were several of us. And then somehow, everyone ended up out of the closet except for she and I.
Oh. It's
like, and a high school I just movie. Remember this moment.
And you
I
kissed?
Really kind of, yeah, I wish to God. Okay. No, we just turned and looked at each other, and she kissed. Just goes,
I'm sorry.
Jamie,
this is queer baiting.
You're writing your own fan fiction right now. Okay. So we turned and looked at each other, and she just goes, I don't hate you. And I was like, I don't hate you. And then we were both
what
like,
a blunt
why does everyone want
moment.
Us to hate each other? And then we actually became like really good friends, like sleepover, like late night hang, like
it's a
good
very,
high school
very
homies.
Nice story.
I know it has like a nice happy ending, but I really remember it. And I think part of the reason it's poignant is because it has a nice happy ending where like we became good friends in high school. But it was this moment of like, wow, if we hadn't like moved outside of the rumor or either one of us had like bought into it that everyone had decided we didn't like each other, and if we maybe didn't have the cognizance or the rumor had played out differently that it like became clear she didn't like me
right.
or I had like said things about her that I was like I don't like her, and we just had like a really like nice little like moment that we were just like I don't dislike you.
That's
like
excellent.
I just want you to know I don't dislike you. And it was like a very great moment. And I'm glad it happened early on because then we got to be friends for years.
And it was
so,
a moment
there you
for
go.
Women.
I mean, honestly, like, you, I can't
I'm
with you
sorry.
Right now. I can't with you. God, I love you, though. Yeah, so I don't know. That's like a very distinct high school rumor.
Oh, most
I
definitely.
Just remember, I kind of loved it, though, because it's all of like the having the little, like, in thinking about rumors, I think it came to my mind when planning this episode because I was like, wow, there's so many players involved who like kind of knew people but didn't really know them. There were like people who like crossed paths but like didn't know each other. And I was like, it could have gone either way. I mean, we could have fought each other in a parking lot if we had had different personalities.
Right. And basically the underlying rumor is that like you guys hate each other, but like you're both just kind of hearing that rumor and like luckily choosing to not believe it.
Well, and here's the thing, like, even if we had chosen to believe it, like, push comes to shove, we both dated the same guy, so we probably had something in common.
That is a really good point. Yep.
You know what I mean? Yep. So, yeah, I don't know. But I can think of a lot of times that, like, nasty gossip happened, and on, like, the times that, like, yeah, you remember the stories of, like, who you heard didn't like you and that kind of thing.
Oh,
but, like,
yeah. No, thank you.
They're not specific and special. No, thank
no,
you.
I don't
no,
mean
thank
to.
You.
And it's fine to just casually not like people. That's fine, too.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, on that note, I guess, I mean, do you have any other rumory gossip feelings you want to get off your chest?
I don't think so. I honestly, mostly, just from time to time, think about that sixth grade cancer rumor.
I love that one.
Yeah.
I think, really, like, the hearkening back of these stories really, I don't know, to me, it reiterates that more of that shit happens truly, I think, when you're younger, like, it does back up that study to me, because even your recent moment of being rumored to have done something involved high schoolers.
Oh, so absolutely. Yes. And it is just, like, insecurity and both misinformation and disinformation, as you mentioned up top. And I think just, like, the ignorance and brashness of youth, probably.
Yeah. And then with some of the factual things, like, we talked about things in the news, I guess it's just, like, a nice sobering reminder to do your own research and not believe everything you hear, because sometimes just because something's been repeated 8 million times doesn't mean that it's true, even though it feels that way, which psychologically it does.
It does. It's like information becomes public domain after it gets said enough. And then we're just like, we don't have to cite that. We all know.
Right. Which is how everyone still believes that Marilyn Manson had a rib removed to suck his own dick.
And I'm going to say I'm still not totally sure I don't believe that.
It's not true. It's not. I love this.
Extreme body mods. We can't know.
God bless. Ugh. Well, on that note, we got to wrap this in true Why Are You Like This fashion and end with a verbal game.
Oh, yeah.
So cue the vibraphone.
Cue it.
So I thought we would dive into three choices with rules, our kind of favorite variation of marry, fuck, kill.
Yes, please.
I think it's really... We really have pivoted away from marry, fuck, kill.
It's an abstraction.
This is the... Yeah, it's hard for it to always be about people, but I love three choices with rules.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing it. Honestly, we should coin that as like our own game. Let's get the trademark on that.
TM,
hashtag
TM,
three
TM.
Choices with rules. Mm-hmm, TM. Okay. So we are going to provide each other with a tailored selection of three rumors about the other person.
Mm-hmm.
The options for these rumors are that, one, people, not maybe not everyone, but people will believe about you for the rest of your life.
Okay.
Like, this will be a constantly circulating
permanent.
Rumor.
Yep.
You might have to address it in job interviews. You might have to address it with romantic partners.
Okay, yeah,
occasionally,
it'll
like,
me.
A family member you haven't seen in a while. Ooh. Like, it's going to come up.
Yeah.
You might be, like, out and somebody randomly be like, aren't you the girl who...
Mm.
Okay, so... That's option one. The other option is, this is a rumor that is going to run rampant and wild for a week. You're going to be fielding calls of people being like, yo, is this true? Like your friends, your family, people. But it's 7 days and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like a rumor for 7 days and then it's going to go away. There's not going to be like a strong moment where everyone's like, oh, we never believe. Like
it'll just fizzle
die.
Out.
It'll die. Maybe occasionally, like, somebody's like,
hey, remember?
But back in 2009, didn't that? And you're going to be like, God damn it, not again.
Yep.
But, like, it won't go anywhere. It'll fizzle out. It'll be like a 1 week rumor.
Yeah.
Like the time that people thought I had cancer in sixth grade.
Yes,
okay.
Like that.
And then the other one is the one, your free space. Like, this is never going to circulate about you.
Just full veto.
Bookend it. Put it aside. Yeah, it's not happening.
All right.
So.
What do I get?
All right, let me proceed with your choices. Ahem. One, that you're a Scientologist.
Yeah.
Two, that you have publicly talked about how you would kill Rob Thomas more than once. And like a good rumor, it's based in fact.
It is. That's funny.
And three, that you continue to donate and petition to save SeaWorld and keep the whales captive. You'd like more of them in captivity.
I would have to say that rumor, never, please. SeaWorld, I have to just full take off the table.
Okay.
Rob Thomas, could I... What was the first rumor again?
That you're a Scientologist.
Oh, shit. I think... Yeah, I guess maybe forever I can be the lady that wants to kill Rob Thomas. Special vendetta.
Wow.
I'll address it in job interviews. I'd rather address that than be asked about being a Scientologist and have to constantly quell those rumors, because that shit would really plague me. And Scientology, being a Scientologist or a rumored Scientologist, can only help you if you really are like fucking in the church and you know the people who can get you the jobs. Like, it would do me no good. And Leah Remini would
That's
be
true.
After me.
Also, I just want to say, people are going to play the clips in which you've described how you would kill Rob Thomas on this podcast. Like, they're going to mash them together into play them, because like a good rumor, there is truth to this.
There is. And there's usable, I'll say speculative evidence, but there's going to be...
We can basically quote you out of context,
exactly.
Is what we're saying. Yes.
And they'll Photoshop me holding various weapons, and it'll be a whole thing.
Man, it does warm my soul how upset you were at the thought of you holding the belief of putting more whales in captivity.
No,
so
that's very upsetting. It's very, very upsetting.
Yeah.
It's not,
bad.
I don't, no, because then I wouldn't want anyone to, well, here comes my Aquarius complex. I wouldn't want anyone to use me as a moral thermometer and think that, you know, that that was okay.
I don't want to kill the whales.
I don't want to perpetuate anything with the, you know, blackfish. Oh, okay. Well, I have some rumor choices for you as well.
Hit me with it.
All right. So these options are that Applebee's is your favorite restaurant.
To me, that's so for me. Okay, keep going.
That you pay people to be your friends.
Oh, wow.
Or that you have a second mouth on your lower back that needs feeding.
Oh. Okay, man, I love these, really went to my heartstrings. The second mouth is just like, just so wild. But then the other two, because I'm kind of a food snob and because I'm worried that no one likes me, are just so rough. Wow. Okay. I think, as you would maybe guess, I'm never going to deal with the rumor that I pay people to be my friend. Mm-hmm. Because that, like, that hits too close to home. I, like, might start believing it. I'd be like, are these people my friends? Who's paying them? Aww. It's what I feel sad about on the inside. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're definitely not dealing with that rumor. And then Applebee's being my favorite restaurant. Because initially I was like, oh, I'd be fine with that for a week. But then I'm like, do I want a lifetime of a second mouth on my back? Like I've explained. But here's the thing that could maybe help me deal with that rumor is that, like, that one's easy to disprove if you get me.
That's true, yeah.
And so unless I became really like notoriety, like that, like have a like a lot of notoriety or something, I wouldn't be worried about like people speculating about that with no way to disprove it, and be like, these photos of her clean back are photoshopped. Like they CGI'd this movie. Mm-hmm. Like if I were a celeb. So I think I'm going to have, like, the Applebee's rumor for a week, and then I'm going to have the second mouth on my back.
That needs feeding
for my whole life, because it's, like, so salacious that I feel like some people have to, like, not believe it.
Yeah.
If anything, I think I'd use it to, like, weed out people who'd be like, yeah, but you know she has that second mouth, right? I'd be like, do I want to hang out with those people who believe the second mouth rumor? So, yeah, I'm going to let people say I have a second mouth that, quote, needs feeding. For my whole life. Like, that's no question. I love that. Like, I love that I'm down for a rumor about having a second mouth on my lower back that needs to be fed. But I'm like, but don't you dare say that I pay people to be my friend.
Or that I like Applebee's.
Yeah, that's also offensive. Well, I just feel like it. I feel like that's harder to deny. Like, no shade thrown to Applebee's, but, like, it's just not my brand, TM.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, frozen foods reheated are not mine either.
Yeah, it's just, I can't. But listen, I do like a good potato skin. Don't fight me on
that. That one I'll do. I'll actually.
Who doesn't love a potato skin?
Potato skin or a mozzarella stick with just a bottled beer. I'll take it.
Yeah, I was going to say a bottle of Corona.
Yeah, that was my choice.
And then the appetizer section at Applebee's, honestly, it's not that bad.
Yeah, and that'll be $25 and 90 minutes of your time to get that food.
90 minutes! I mean, the food is coming out like an hour and a half later cold.
And I don't understand.
We don't have the answers. Oh, God bless you, Applebee's. I'm sorry.
And we just said a bunch of misinformation about Applebee's. I don't have, like, actual proofs.
Spreading rumors about Applebee's.
I'd love to.
Listen, if you have rumors about specifically Applebee's or anything else you'd like to clue us
in. Or if you have a second mouth that needs feeding.
Yeah, listen to that. We do want to know about for sure. Oh, my God. Maybe I chose that one as my answer because it's true.
Yeah.
You can't know.
We won't
Maybe
ever.
I'm starting a rumor about my own second mouth that needs feeding right now.
Yeah, you could write a book later. There'd be a movie about you.
Oh, it'd be a tell-all story. I can't. Wait, girl with second mouth. And then I'll be like, colon, that needs. Fuck, dude, I can't.
I'm trying to think of a dramatic title. The Hunger Behind Me.
I'll workshop on it.
Yeah.
The Mouth Behind Me.
The Hunger Behind Me.
The Hunger. listen, if there's a hunger behind you, I gotta wrap this. You have to let us know on the internet. And as always, you can do so via email at whyareyoulikethispod@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at whyareyoulikethispod, or you can find us on Twitter at WAYLTTweets. And thank you. Good morning, good night, good evening, good day. And don't forget to feed your second mouth.
No, thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye.